Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, everybody. We're here again with another new episode of What's New in History. The future's a mystery, but what's new in history? I'm again with my favorite co-host, Dan Horning from Stockholm, Sweden, and he is our Roman expert. And so today we have a story from Rome, obviously, and the name of it is called, the article is, Ancient Letter Written by Roman Emperor Leads Archaeologists to Monumental Discovery in Italy. And I will put it in the notes. I'm going to let Dan talk to us a little bit about this one.
Well, the article is written by Carrie Breen. It was published on cbsnews.com on January 9th in 2024. And it seems that Constantine the Great, the Roman emperor, who was doing his emperor thing under very interesting circumstances that I will not get into, from AD 280 to 337. Rome came out of the crisis of the 3rd century because of other people, but this guy was the one who got all the good effects of that. So Constantine, for example, had the great meeting at Nicaea, where he streamlined Christianity. It was also Constantine who had the dream outside Rome when he was about to conquer Rome, that the Lord told him that in with my sign you will conquer. And Constantine was the first Christian emperor, but he didn't make Christianity mandatory. But he made Christianity cool. So people wanted to be a Christian because the emperor was.
Yeah.
And a letter by Constantine has helped a team of archaeologists find an ancient temple. And the article says that it adds significant insights into the social changes when we went from pagan beliefs to Christianity in the Roman Empire, which was a very painful process.
Yeah.
And it took pretty much 400 years after the birth of Jesus until the Roman Empire made Christianity mandatory under another emperor, Theodosius the Great, much later than Constantine.
Okay.
So the lead archaeologist here is Douglas Boyne, and he announced this monumental discovery at the annual meeting of the Archaeological Institute of America. He is a professor of history at St. Louis University. So what he says is that he and his team discovered three walls of a monumental structure. It appears to be a Roman temple from the Constantine era, and they found this in Spello, which is a medieval hilltop city about 2.5 hours away from Rome and near the town of Assisi. And this letter from Constantine helped the team find the temple. The letter itself was found in the 18th century, and the subject of the letter is that the people of the town in Constantine's time were allowed to celebrate a religious festival rather than travel to another event, but only if they built a temple to Constantine's divine ancestors. It's not a temple to the Lord or to Jesus, but to Constantine's divine ancestors. Which means that, and ever since Constantine's time, people have discussed how Christian was this guy really.
Right.
He was only baptized right before his death.
Right.
Which has made a lot of people suspicious, but it seems that that was also the way you did it in the 4th century.
Oh.
because when you are baptized, you're relieved of all sins. So to actually wait until you're about to die was clever.
Oh, yeah, it's like how you do last rites, because you're baptized at birth.
No sins when you died.
Yeah, I see that. I get that. So this temple, it sounds to me like they were saying they wanted to do a regular religious festival, like, I don't know, just name it like to Jupiter or somebody. But then if they wanted to do that, they had to build a different temple to the god of the Roman, to like the Roman ancestors, which were kind of like gods.
Yeah, especially Constantine's ancestors.
Right. Yeah, specifically his godlike emperor ancestors.
And then they didn't have to travel to that other event that they apparently didn't want to go to.
Right.
Professor Boyne says that this temple shows that there were continuities between the classical pagan world and the early Christian Roman world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite blurred. And when you cover this era of history, it's very easy to simplify everything.
Yeah.
Here's a quote from Professor Boyne. Things didn't change overnight. Before our find, we never had a sense that there were actual physical religious sites associated with this late imperial cult practice. But because of the inscription and its reference to a temple, Spello offered a very tantalizing potential for a major discovery of an imperial cult underneath a Christian ruler, end quote. Because the emperors had been doing this for a long time.
Yeah.
They had these imperial cults. You couldn't declare yourself a god as an emperor, because that was very bad to do. Some emperors did, and they got a lot of bad press for that.
Okay.
But you could build temples to your genius, not to you, but to your genius. And you could also build temples to your ancestors.
Ah.
But you couldn't declare yourself a god.
Okay.
But I get the impression nobody expected Constantine to do these things.
Right, because he was supposed to be Christian.
Yeah.
Right. And it could have even just been he wanted them to do it because it wasn't just a political thing. Well, who knows? I mean, he might have wanted them to, yeah.
It was probably still deeply ingrained in Constantine that his ancestors demanded respect and worship.
Yeah, yeah.
Professor Boyne also says, quote, "There's evidence from other places throughout the Roman world that Christian rulers supported imperial cult practices. We have known that pagans worshipped at their temples in the 4th century, but those findings have all been small and inconsequential. And we've known the Christians supported the imperial cult. And we've known that without any sense of where it would have happened," end quote. But now they know.
Yeah. Maybe that's sort of like the, lost my train of thought. That's like, I know. I remember what I was going to say. You know how the Catholic Church has saints?
Yes.
And you could kind of have little shrines and temples to your saints. And that's not really like paganism. The Protestants didn't like that. Right,
no.
They made that, but you know, I wonder if that's kind of how the saint thing sort of trans, you know, like that's sort of like the, you know, how it kind of happened. You know,
yes.
you had Christians were worshiping maybe in quotes, like the ancestors, you know, the past emperors, and then, well, maybe they started saying things like, well, you're not really gods, but they're sort of like saints.
For sure.
Yeah.
It's very similar to the old cults.
Yeah. It's ancestor worship, similar to, yeah.
And Professor Boyne and his team are returning to this temple in the summer of 2024. And they will keep researching this subject.
Oh, great.
I would be very surprised if anybody finds a temple such as this from 60 years later, from the days of Theodosius the Great.
Yeah.
Because Theodosius' approach to Christianity is that, okay, now everybody's a Christian, and if you're not a Christian, I will kill you. Because that was Jesus wants me to do.
Yeah, you're right.
And Theodosius has one great battle. I actually wrote a book about the sack of Rome in 410 by the Visigoths. And Theodosius dies 15 years before that. But right before he dies, he reconquers Rome itself because Rome is controlled by pagans.
Oh.
So the last stand of the pagans in the Roman Empire is in Rome itself.
Wow.
It's the last place to be Christian.
Wow.
But with the help of the Lord, he says, he actually won the battle for Rome and took it from the pagans. And then he died. Lord. And the death of Theodosius is actually the point where the Roman Empire splits in two pieces. Because he has left his two sons, who are entirely worthless. One is 18 years old and only cares about his appearance. He just cares about looking good. His name is Arcadius.
Okay.
And he's left in Constantinople, which is the capital. And he has one evil advisor who now controls the Eastern Empire.
Oh, my God.
And Theodosius left his 12-year-old son, Honorius, who is his only trait is that he's worthless. He's worthless as everything. And he's 12 years old. And he is left with another evil advisor who controls the Western Empire.
Oh, my God.
And the two parts never reunite again after 395 AD.
You think democracy doesn't work good. Kings work way worse because of this kind of thing.
Oh, yes. But it all turned the Roman Empire Christian.
Yeah. Yeah. And that changed the world.
Wow. I got to talk about Rome. Thank you.
See? You're welcome. Well, thank you, Dan, for helping me with that episode.
I loved it.
Yeah, I know you do. We'll try to do some more Rome ones then, too.
Well, please.
I just have one last question. Wasn't about the imperial cult. Wasn't there one emperor, if you recall, who said on his deathbed, am I becoming a god now?
You're talking about Vespasian.
Okay, that's who it was, Vespasian.
After winning the year of the four emperors and ending up on top,
yeah,
he ruled Rome quite well. And he was also, he was always kind of ironic. And when he felt that he was dying, he went, oh, I think I'm becoming a god. Because you could be declared divine if you were dead.
Right.
So it became the practice of the Senate and the new emperor to declare the old emperor a god when he was dead, if he had done a good job.
I see. Gotcha. It's like the Chinese did that with their posthumous names.
Yeah, that was so weird.
Yeah.
Luckily for us, the Roman emperors kept their name after they were dead.
Thank you. Thank you, Roman emperors.
And one day we'll get to the emperors in our regular show, but they are far away in the future.
They are far away in the future.
We're still talking about the kings who might not even have existed.
Yeah, we have kings. We're going to get to the Republic soon in our regular fan of history.
And then we have about 500 years of the Republic to cover.
Well, we know we'll be your place. Because as I start getting older, maybe I won't have to work anymore and I'll just do fan of history podcasts.
Sounds great.
Yes. And send us money on Patreon so I could do that now.
And support us on Acast Plus and get rid of the ads.
Yeah.
That's Fan of History Plus is the name of our show's version of Acast Plus. But there's a link in the show notes.
Excellent. Yeah, check the show notes. I'll put the links to the articles in the show notes as well. Any other pertinent links will be in there. And we appreciate you guys listening and contacting us and everything that you do. We really do. And I appreciate being able to do this podcast. I appreciate Dan. I appreciate all of you. I know I say it all the time, but I really do mean it.
Actually, in a few days, I will talk to a friend of mine's 7-year-old son who has become super interested in the Roman Empire.
Oh.
And they were like, okay, we don't know the answers to all your questions, but here, please meet Dan.
That's great.
It seems to be a clever 7-year-old because he has a lot of questions.
That's great, though. How great is that for a 7-year-old to just have the someone to answer the questions, you know? Because you have so many questions, you have to go look it up yourself. But having an expert is great.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you, Dan. All right, cheers. We'll catch you guys next time.
Cheers.